Hello, you are listening to The Wellness Project with Des. I'm your host, Desiree, a mental health therapist and holistic wellness coach. On my podcast, I interview experts in the field of mental health and wellness, as well as those who share their firsthand accounts of their mental health journeys. These interviews will give you many tips, tools, and strategies to improve your mental health, as well as give you hope, support, encouragement, and inspire you on your own personal mental health and wellness journey. Thanks so much for being here. I would greatly appreciate it if you took a moment to leave me a review on iTunes and leave the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. It really helps the podcast to grow, which in turn helps me to keep bringing on amazing guests and spreading mental health and wellness education and support. And make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. This is episode number 136. On today's episode, I speak with Paul Bright, a certified sleep coach, all about, you guessed it, sleep. Paul is going to share his own story with us, the various sleep disorders that he's struggled with, and how he began to treat them. Paul is going to speak with us about the very real and damaging effects that poor sleep, poor quality sleep, and a lack of sleep have on our mental health, psychological health, physical health, emotional health, as well as give us so many tips and strategies on things we can do to improve our sleep hygiene. This is such an important topic. Our sleep is so vital to our overall well-being. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Help me welcome Paul.
Paul, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because we are talking about such an important topic today. We are talking about sleep.
Yes, sleep is so huge. It's an important thing that we, especially us Americans, we like to brag about how much sleep we didn't get because of the work we were doing or what have you. And we got to change that. It's too much at stake.
Yeah, that is a really great point. Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation. I think it's going to be so valuable for so many people, myself included. So before we get started, I would love if you can introduce yourself and share your journey with your sleep issues, with your sleep hygiene.
My name is Paul Bright. I am a certified sleep science coach. I'm also a United States Air Force veteran, active duty. I served from 1997 and through 2008, end of 97 through the spring of 2008. And that is where my sleep issue started, was about 2 years into service. It's my first deployment. I went to Germany. It was in support of the Kosovo Air and Space Campaign. For those of you who are much younger than me, that is when we were supporting NATO and we were trying to get a dictator out of the whole Bosnia area. And I was a jet engine mechanic. I fixed cargo planes, the jets on the cargo planes. And so from that deployment, we went from Charleston Air Force Base, where I was stationed, to crossed about 6 or 7 time zones within hours. And then we would land somewhere, we would be there for a couple of weeks, and then, oh, well, now you guys got to go here. And that happened 2 or 3 times. And then we finally ended up in Germany. That was when my sleep issues started, because I got off work. I was working the 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift, and I got off work and went to bed, and I had 3 roommates. I fell asleep, and they were already at their day shift, and I'm guessing it was 2 hours in. My mind woke up, but my body would not move, and I felt like I was being buried alive, and I had no idea what was going on, no clue. I just felt like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move or anything like that. And I just had to keep willing myself up. And I finally snapped out of it and woke up. And I was scared. So I went right back to sleep, and it happened again and again and again. And I had no idea what it was. And I was like, man, let me just get out of this before the roommates come back, because I don't want to see them see me shaking and whatever I think I'm doing. But I finally was able to fall asleep for a few hours and come back. I never told anybody about it. I didn't tell them. I didn't say anything during my deployment. I didn't say anything for years, because when you're serving in the military, that's the last thing people want to do, is get kicked out because of a medical reason and just fear. It's like the half military machoism. The other half is like, I don't want to find out what it was. And it happened for about once a week for years. couple of years before I even told anybody. I just got too fed up with it. I was like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I told my doctor, and she told me that she thinks it's something called sleep paralysis, but didn't have much knowledge or help with it other than to not sleep on your back, and that you should probably tell your supervisors to put you on a different shift, which is completely unheard of in the military when you tell your supervisors when you should work, especially if it's for a medical reason, you don't have a note or anything like that. And then again, you don't want to tell anybody because you don't want to get kicked out. But that's really how it started, because that started bringing on sleep anxiety, because now I was afraid to go to sleep, insomnia, I didn't want to go to sleep, just, you know, it led to a lot of things. And it went on and on and on and on and on for years, until little bits and pieces of research I was doing. At some point I ended up at a base where I was at regular hours and I could try to continue my education. I started pursuing a master's degree, which opened me up to having what you and I are very familiar with, peer review journals, because of all the papers we had to do. And even though I was going for a degree in counseling, I had access to this other information. So I started picking up bits and pieces, and bit by bit, that sleep paralysis attack would happen now every other week, and then maybe once or twice a month. And then eventually, the more I learned, the more I put into practice of all the things I needed to do for myself, instead of like weekly, it was maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, it's maybe half a dozen times a year. And I usually can tell when it's coming, which I could not before. It wasn't until years afterwards is when I said, can you get certified in this kind of thing? Because I'm kind of proud that I got rid of it. And then I found out, yeah, you can get certified as a sleep science coach. And then is when I started really studying and finding out the why behind the things that I did worked and why things that I tried didn't work. That's the overarching journey that I took to get to where I am today.
Oh, that's really great to hear. And I think that gives a lot of people a lot of hope, because I know so many people struggle with their sleep hygiene, whether it's sleep paralysis, whether it's insomnia, whether it's sleep anxiety, like you mentioned. I think so many people have so many unique struggles when it comes to sleeping. So do you have any sort of tips or advice for people that are struggling with their sleep, that they don't really know what to do? They don't know where to turn. They feel like they don't know even like where to start to kind of address these different sleep issues. And are there certain, I know there's a lot of different sleep issues, but are there certain things that help with certain ones, you know, that are unique to just sleep paralysis or just insomnia?
Right. Good question. And it covers a lot of ground. And so there's a couple things I'd like to say. Overall, insomnia 99.99% of the time is a symptom of something else. It's not a condition in itself. It's a symptom of something else. And there's a lot of reasons why people can have insomnia, or what they think is insomnia. You know, I've had people tell me they have insomnia, but really it's broken sleep. They're sleeping for 4 hours, but then they're awake for 2 hours, but then they go back to sleep for a couple more hours. Not always optimal, but it's not necessarily insomnia, like where insomniacs might get an hour or two of sleep a night, but not even realize it because they've been awake so long. And that hour or two is broken up 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And then it'll go on for days and days and days. And then they may have a crash where they sleep really, really hard for a day or two, and then it starts again. So that's something to remember, is that insomnia is more of a symptom and not necessarily a disease in itself. Because people ask me, it's like, well, can you get claims? Can you get like medical, you know, disability for insomnia? It's like, probably not. You know, it's like getting a medical disability for a cut. It's just what led to that, you know? So that's one thing. And that's a good thing, because that means that since it's not necessarily a disease in and of itself, it's something you can fix. You can work on it. Where to start? Really hard to say, because my methods really are more one-on-one, because I help people do what worked for me. And that was to figure out, where in my life am I doing the things that are not helping my sleep? And where in my life am I doing the things that are helping my sleep and I could do more? And I divided it into four areas. From there, when I take it piece by piece, I can see what I can build on. And that is what helped me get to where I am today. And that's what I do with the clients that I work with. However, there are a couple of places where you can start. The first is like almost any major change. You have to be consistent. You have to start somewhere and be consistent. So if you pick a time that you say, this is the time I want to go to bed, and this is the time that I want to wake up, Start with that time you want to go to bed and just go to bed. That's it. Avoid your bed all day. Whatever you do, get out of it. Don't watch TV in it. Don't do your homework in it. Don't play your video games. Don't do anything in that until it's time to go to bed. And then do whatever it is that you feel like you want to do or you normally do. But just start with that time. And you may lay there for a couple hours and be like, this sucks. This is not working. It's not going to work the first night. But what you're doing is you're associating the bed to your body with sleep. And have you been on a road trip lately?
I have actually. I've been on 2 road trips recently.
Okay. Were they nice long ones?
They were, yes. One was a month long and one was 10 days.
Oh, wow. Wow. And so did your bladder start to fill up a little bit there, you know, in between trips?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. So here's something that I tell people I associate it with. So if you ever notice, like, okay, you can go, you can down that soda and your bladder's full and you're like, I'll be all right. We'll get to the next gas station. And you get to that next gas station, right? And you get to that door and it's locked. It doesn't unlock fast enough. Your bladder's ready to explode. It was fine for 19 hours, but then 19 hours and 2 minutes later, it's like, because you saw that door, you've already associated like, oh good, now it's time to go. There's something in the way. That becomes a problem because we've associated ourselves with that. We associate our bodies with, we want to use the bathroom. If we see a, you know, the restroom sign, now it's like everything starts to speed up. And that's what you can do with sleep. When you can associate your body to the bed with sleep, that's a good start. And so that's where I tell people, just start by picking a time. And then from there, things will start to fall into place if you're mindful of it. It's like, you know what? Maybe it takes you an hour and a half to fall asleep and not two. And then you start to value that. It's like, okay, well, what do I got to do to get ready for that? Well, there's the obvious low hanging fruit, like cutting off your caffeine, you know, before 10 to 12 hours before you plan to go to bed. That's low hanging fruit. You know, you can do that. Most people know if you keep a screen on your eyes for a very long time, you know, that close, that's not going to help you sleep. So you got to, you know, you cut that off. You start with those little things to kind of build some confidence. And that's where I tell people, just generally, if you're going to do anything first, just pick a bedtime, cut the low hanging fruit, and just keep going to bed that same time. And then from there, you can start building.
Those are some really great tips for people to hear. And I would love if you could explain why sleep is so important. And how does a lack of sleep or too little sleep impact a person's mental health, emotional health, physical health?
Wow. Good questions. Sleep is important. If you think about it, it's like roughly 1/3 of our day. We're not present. We don't think we're present. Our body's in shutdown. It's in how we even call our computers sleep mode, you know, and this is where our body is doing all the rest and repair and the regrowth. Everything you did all day really prepares you for sleep at night so you continue with the next day. When you get restorative sleep, not just sleep, but restorative sleep, your body is releasing the regrowth and repair hormones, you know, oxygen, all the cells flowing, everything is getting fixed up, and your memory is also getting sorted. Your short-term memory of events of that day, they start to get sorted and put into long-term memory. Your brain is deciding what to keep, what to junk out. And then there's a process I label it brainwashing, but it's really like a mix of fluids and cerebral spinal, you know, fluid and water, and it goes through your brain, which is like 70% water anyway. It washes the cavities of all those dead cells, the free radicals and all that. When it does that, that also prevents like Alzheimer's from setting in. That helps prevent that. Those are the bigger things about sleep as far as your physical health. You're getting the repairs, you know, your memory is getting there. But as far as mental health goes, when you get those cells repaired, when you get all that processed, like, you have more energy in the morning. You're waking up refreshed, acute. Even if you're still dealing with issues, you're more prepared to deal with them because you've gotten that good rest. You've given your brain some time to shut down and reset itself and almost cool off. Lack of sleep basically does all the opposites. But here's something about emotional mental health that's been featured in a recent study. And, you know, peer-reviewed studies, they're not absolute. They never say, hey, this is the absolute answer. Their suggestions based on the experiments that they did, you know, measuring for this and that. But this one I found was very valid. And the study revealed that your brain, after midnight, if you're awake and it's quiet, tends to focus on negative thoughts. It tends to focus on the things that did not get worked out that day. It tends to delve towards the negative emotions. Because if you're someone like, you know, you're in the helping field, or if you're somebody that has a lot of responsibility over a lot of people or children, you're a problem solver. You're helping people manage their emotions. You're doing things. But then after midnight, for some reason, the brain wants to address the things you didn't address for yourself. That can contribute to depression. That can contribute to more anxiety. You start worrying about what's going to happen the next day and all these things. And then if you think about it, that's also when people start tend to delve into their vices to deal with that. So if you are awake after midnight, alone with your thoughts, and you have not dealt with any of those personal stressors during the day, your brain starts to try to deal with them then.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. And you had mentioned restorative sleep. Is there a difference between sleep and restorative sleep?
Yes. I learned this one the hard way in the military. So basic training is very draining. They're training you in the military to almost lightly sleep because you have to be able to get up and respond, not just for yourself, but for the mission and everything. So there's a lot of, you know, sudden wake ups and all these things. And then that carries on as you serve because you don't have a lot of predictability in some locations of what type of work is going to happen, what challenges you're going to have. So you learn how to sleep. You might sleep 4 hours, but it's very lightly. You might sleep 6 hours, but it's very lightly. When you are in those initial stages of sleep, what ends up happening is you're just getting into sleep. Your body's trying to prepare you to get ready for dropping the temperature, for your senses to get dulled, for your body to be catatonic so you don't hurt yourself in your sleep. And when all that sets in, about a 40 minutes to an hour in, that is when all the regrowth and repair hormones that I was talking about start happening. And then there's another stage where the memory starts forming. That's restorative sleep. And you tend to go through sleep stages. There's like four or five, depending how you define them, like three or four times a night. When you are not getting that, you're basically taking a lot of short naps is what you're doing. So you can sleep 6 hours, but very lightly, off and on. You can still be sensitive to things because there's stuff going on inside of you that is keeping your body awake versus shut down, like too much cortisol, too much caffeine, too many outside triggers in your bedroom or wherever you're trying to sleep. Those can keep you from getting a good solid 6 to 8 hours of restorative sleep.
And before, you had mentioned that insomnia is a symptom of something else. Working with your clients and doing all the research that you've done, are there any common symptoms that you see?
Two of the things that have stuck out have been unaddressed trauma. So if there's been some major trauma in life, you're well aware of this, like something could happen to you as a kid and you've blocked it out, but it's become built into your nervous system. Because it's built into your nervous system, you may not necessarily be aware of the triggers that are keeping your nervous system awake and alert. Even though you're trying to sleep, you're like, my life is going fine, yet every time at this time of night, or I hear this certain sound, or I smell this certain thing, I have a hard time sleeping. I'm scared and I don't know why. Sometimes unaddressed trauma comes up. And usually when that comes up, I'll tell the clients, like, listen, I can help you to a point. I'm not a therapist. I'm not in that field anymore. I said, you really need to get that addressed, but I can still help you as far as building all the skills that will help you sleep faster once you get to that point where you want to go to sleep. But the other thing is usually a lack of stress management. There are too many things going on in the day to where the people are not doing what they need to do to build themselves up for sleep at night. And a lot of that is stress management. One of the clients I recently worked with, she is a single mom and also dealing with a relative who has a terminal disease. And there's a lot of things going on and she doesn't mind doing those things, but they're stressing things that are happening every hour. And so part of what was blocking her was she was eating and then going straight to bed because that was the only time she could find time to eat. And then 3 hours she'd wake up and like, what am I supposed to do today? What's next on the schedule? And she didn't really have time to address that. And so those were a couple of things we had to do, was like, let's address those things of what needs to be done tomorrow, like way, way earlier in the day. And then let's eat our meals a lot sooner than right before you go to bed, because now your body's trying to fight digestion and all these things versus, you know, relaxing. And those things were a huge help for her. Those were a good start, because now she didn't have to wake up wondering what she had to do today because she already figured that part out. It was already solved. So those were a couple of pieces. But yeah, it's usually unaddressed trauma or lack of stress management during the day. Because when you're not managing your stress, you know, dealing with things that are happening to you, you start doing things on the quick. You're trying to solve things like that instead of building and slowly incorporating a better lifestyle.
That makes a lot of sense. And you did touch on this a bit, but how can somebody create a healthy bedtime routine that could get them into that healthy sleep hygiene?
One thing to understand is that your sleep cycle actually starts during the day when you wake up, not when you go to bed. So if you're trying to prepare for sleep right when it's time to go to bed, you're likely not going to succeed if it's not already working for you. But if you understand that your sleep cycle actually starts during the day and that the hormones that are built up that help you sleep start the minute you wake up, literally when blue photons hit the neurotransmitters behind your eyelids, that is typically when it starts. If you can manage your day by doing the things that you know are good for your health, getting some exercise, and then knowing that I am definitely going to bed at this hour, that you take an hour before then, at least an hour, maybe sooner than that, to prepare for that, then it starts to help making an easier sleep routine. It's different for everybody, but I'll give an example. So you and I both do podcasts, and I think you may be like me where those creative ideas for podcasting and editing is like endless. It's like, I don't mind doing it, but it's a lot of work, and you're doing it and you're doing it and you're doing it until your brain is just like, I can't take it anymore. And then you shut down and you go to bed. And then an hour later, that next idea pops up. It's like, oh crap, did I edit that right? Or did I say that right? And so what's happening is your brain waves are now operating at a cognitive thinking processing speed versus slowing themselves down, getting to a slower brainwave speed, getting cooler, and then gliding into bed. And so one of the things that people need to do, especially if they're busy and do a lot of stuff, is to pick that hour before you plan to go to sleep and do not exactly nothing, but light work for your brain. Folding laundry, watching an old sitcom, light reading, whatever is relaxing but doesn't necessarily knock you out. Even the personal hygiene with music going on is good. You know, these are things. So if you take an hour and know, okay, I'm going to bed at 10, so at 9 o'clock, that's when I need to start putting my jammies on. That's when I need to start doing this. And you start building your day to that point, knowing that sleep is so important to me that no matter what happens, this is what I'm building towards. That's a really good place to start. And it still goes back to consistency.
Oh, great. Those are really great tips. Thanks for sharing that. And so if somebody is concerned that they have some sort of sleep issue, sleep disorder, right, how can they go about getting diagnosed for that and getting treatment?
Well, yeah, definitely consult your doctor, your general physician, if you have one. They may start trying to prescribe meds. If you ask for something, they may get you something. Typically, the prescribed meds that are targeted for sleep are hypnotics. They work temporarily. I think they're good for people that like have jet lag issues and they're trying to get themselves reset. Or maybe you're parents to a newborn and now you're finally trying to get, they're on a sleep routine, but now you're not. So you need something that's going to help reset your body. But those prescriptions are not normally meant to last more than 6 months, and they're there for temporary issues. But if you have something deeper going on, definitely see your physician, especially if you are snoring, you find yourself like, you know, sleep apnea or something like that. It gets really tough. In fact, when I did my sleep study, because of the sleep paralysis, I didn't know what was going on. And they were like, well, you don't have narcolepsy. Your brain is stopping breathing like 13 times a night. And people that have sleep apnea, it's like 300. So it's not that bad. They're like, do you snore? I was like, I don't know. And so I asked my wife, I said, babe, do I snore at night? She goes, oh yeah, you've been snoring. She goes, I usually just give you a nice little elbow and you stop, you turn over. I was like, well, that's good to know. But I would have never known it had I not gotten a sleep study just to see what was going on. But yeah, you definitely need to go to a physician. They may refer you to a sleep specialist. You might have to do a sleep study to see if there's something deeper going on. Like I said, insomnia, it tends to be other things that relate to that. There are some very, very rare diseases that can be directly related to sleep. They're very rare.
Okay, perfect. Paul, this has been so great and so informative, so valuable, such an important conversation. Can you share where everyone can find you?
Yes. My website is sleepyoudeserve.com. I can send you a link in the show notes if you're going to use that. It's got my link tree to all the other things. I have a podcast called The Why Behind Your Z's. I'm so proud of that name. I was like, yes, that's the name for it, because that's exactly what I had to do for myself. I wanted to find out what was going on with sleep. And so I try to answer this question. So I have a podcast. I've got the Instagram, Sleep Coach Paul, if anybody wants to follow me there. And in the link tree, I do have a link if people are interested in getting some one-on-one work. I can offer some free consultation just to see if we're a good fit. I promise you I'll give you at least one takeaway if we do a free consult. And because you have lovely listeners, like if they decide they want to go on for some full-on sleep coaching, I can give them a nice little discount just because they're following you. If you sign up for my email list, you'll get some free sleep tips every other week. I send out something. I don't want to bombard people with things, but I always put something in there that people can take away. Like currently we're recording in the summer, so the next few emails I have are like tips for sleeping during the summer, things you can do to keep your room cool, foods you can avoid but still have a good time during the summer, accepting the fact that you probably, especially if you have kids, you're not going to go to bed the same time that you usually do, and they aren't either. So learning how to accept that and being able to still have a good sleep and enjoy your summer, that's what I'm doing right now with that. So
oh, perfect. And yeah, everyone, I will put all those links in the show notes. So make sure you go check out Paul. And yes, I love that name of your podcast. So clever. I love it.
Thank you.
Paul, thank you so much for being here today. This was such a great conversation.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad I got to do this.
What a great and informative conversation with Paul. Every episode of The Wellness Project has an episode page full of all of the links and detailed show notes. You can find this episode's details and where to find Paul on accordingtodes.com/136. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my email list so you don't miss a thing. I'll be sending you important updates, blogs, and the latest podcast episodes. And when you sign up, you'll also get a free ebook that dives into 5 stress reduction techniques to help you feel more relaxed. So make sure you sign up for that. I really enjoyed speaking with Paul about sleep, and I kind of wanted to share my own personal journey that I went through in the last few months. So I actually had 2 sleep studies done. So as you know, if you've been following me on social media or if you've listened to previous podcast episodes, that I was going through a lot of health issues, a lot of mysterious symptoms, an undiagnosed chronic illness. So now I have a lot of that under control. But all the doctors that I was seeing wanted to rule out everything. One of the doctors I was seeing wanted to rule out sleep apnea, so they referred me for an at-home sleep study. I went to pick up this little kit and I brought it home, and it had all of these wires and things attached to me. It was really interesting, and Mark helped me set it all up, and I just felt like a little robot or something. I was all covered in wires, and you could actually go and see these pictures. I posted them yesterday on Facebook in my Facebook group, so you could definitely go and look at those pictures, and I looked kind of crazy. So I did the at-home sleep study, and I had to go drop it off at the lab the next day, and then I can't remember how long, but a little while later, a few days later, weeks, whatever it was, they sent me my results, and my results were inconclusive, which apparently I found out is pretty common, because one of my other friends also had a sleep study, and same thing. So then I was referred for an in-lab sleep study, which I was a little nervous, but I ended up really enjoying. It looked like a nice hotel room, so it was actually kind of cool. They told me to wear comfortable clothes, comfortable PJs, whatever, and to bring anything I wanted. And it legit, again, go in my Facebook group, you'll see the pictures, but it legitimately looked like a hotel room. So it was really nice blankets and pillows, but I did bring a blanket and I did bring a pillow. Also with my POTS, I'm supposed to sleep a little elevated, so I wanted to make sure that I had a pillow in case they didn't have extras or whatever. So the woman there was so, so nice. I actually felt like I could have been her friend. We were talking forever. We were laughing. We had so many things in common. Overall, it was a pleasant experience. Well, not the sleep part. Everything besides the sleep. The sleep was highly unpleasant. So I had even more wires attached to me at the in-lab sleep study. I was all hooked up, and I was hooked up to a machine, and they had to put things all over my head with sticky stuff. It was like this, like skin glue. So my hair looked absolutely insane. I was really hesitant to post it on social media just because I looked just crazy. But I wanted to give you guys a realistic idea of how it went and, you know, an accurate representation of what you'd be dealing with. So I actually had a really difficult time sleeping, which they said is obviously common because you're all hooked up and everything. It's not comfortable. And you have straps, one across your chest, one across your stomach, down your legs. So I was really uncomfortable. I was really concerned and worried that I wasn't going to get an accurate reading, but they said it was pretty accurate. So similar to Paul, they said that I did stop breathing quite a few times in my sleep. I can't remember now. They did send me the results in my portal, so I can look at that. And it's very clearly laid out. So I can't remember the number, but they did say I stopped breathing however many times. But they actually said that that's normal and that you need a certain amount of times to stop breathing to qualify for sleep apnea. So everything else came back pretty normal, which I was kind of surprised because I do struggle with a little bit of sleepless leg syndrome. And I do wake up gasping for breath sometimes. And Mark has also said that he's heard me stop breathing in my sleep sometimes. But apparently that's normal, so I don't know. But it was very interesting to have the at-home and in-lab sleep study. So if you are really concerned about insomnia, sleep paralysis, sleep apnea, any sleep disorder, definitely consult with your doctor. And in my case and Paul's case, and like he mentioned, they'll likely refer you for a sleep study. So I fully agree with Paul how he mentioned giving yourself a full hour of wind down time before bed, which is actually what I do. So I wanted to go over my sleep time, bedtime routine with you a little bit. I try to go to sleep, again, try, this is ideal, it doesn't always happen, but I try to go to sleep every night at 11 o'clock. It's so important with your sleep to go to bed at the same time every night and to wake up the same time every morning. So I really try to go to bed every night at 11 o'clock. So winding down an hour before, that means that a little before 10 o'clock, I start wrapping it up. So I get off my computer, I get off my phone, I start really, you know, shutting down and getting into that mode of I'm going to sleep, I'm winding down from the day. So turning off a lot of the lights, making it dark in the house, I'll put on a few lamps. So I go and I take my magnesium and vitamin D so that I'm not taking them right before bed, that I'm laying down and they can't digest or whatever. Sometimes when I take pills and I lay down right away, it really bothers my stomach and my chest. So that's the first thing that I do. Then I go and I feed all the kitties their canned food before bed, their little nighttime snack. And then I go and I brush my teeth. I floss every single night and I use the water floss or water pick, whatever it's called as well. Then I use mouthwash and then I fill my humidifier with water and I set that. And I'm already in pajamas for hours. I get in pajamas as soon as I walk in the house from work. I then get in bed and I read. So I'm trying to make it a habit to read every night before bed, which is sometimes difficult when I'm really tired because I can't stay awake and I fall asleep right away. But so far it's been working out. There's just sometimes that it's not successful. But so I really try to make that part of my bedtime routine, which I really enjoy. It's a really great way to wind down. So I'll read for as long as I can take it because I have an eye condition. So my eyes start kind of glitching out. So I'll either take a break from reading and go back to it, or I'll just do something else, which is not great, not supposed to be doing this, but I scroll TikTok before bed every night. Very bad habit, trying to break it, but I'm trying to be real and honest with you. That is what I do. I'll read first, and then I will scroll through TikTok for probably 30-ish minutes, maybe more. I don't know. I like to think not, but probably. And then around 11 o'clock, I will put my book away or put my phone away, and then Mark will turn on a meditation on his phone. And then I'm out in about 2 seconds flat. As soon as Mark presses play on that meditation, I am out cold. We could be mid-sentence. We could be chatting. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. He presses play, I'm out. This meditation is so good. It knocks me out every time. Sometimes we forget to put it on, but then I'll realize that I'm not falling asleep right away, so I'll ask him to press play, and I'm out. It works so well for me. I love it. And that meditation that we listen to is Tracks to Relax, and it's actually a podcast. So I always recommend that one because, I don't know, for some reason, it just knocks me right out, which I love. So that is basically my bedtime routine. I try to stick to that every night. Obviously, I'm not perfect, so I do scroll on TikTok or I'll watch something on my iPad. I'll watch an episode of something before bed. But for the most part, I do try to stick to that framework of, you know, my dental hygiene, washing my face, my humidifier. I have to put on every night because we live in Colorado, super, super dry. I notice such a big difference when I wake up and don't have the humidifier. I wake up just feeling horrible and dried out and like a dried out prune. So I do that every night, and then I do try to read every single night. So there's definitely ways that I can improve, but overall, I think that my bedtime routine is pretty effective because I do sleep very well. I once in a while wake up to go to the bathroom, which is also normal, but then I fall right back asleep when I get into bed. I would love to hear your bedtime routine, so definitely feel free to share that with me in the Facebook group. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/accordingtodes. I hope I see you in there because we will be discussing this episode and we will be covering sleep this week. All books written by or recommended by my amazing podcast guests are listed on my Amazon storefront. Go to the link in the show notes to check out those books. If you liked this episode, please share it on social media at The Wellness Project with Des on Instagram and at According to Des on Facebook. If you enjoy my podcast and gain value from it, I would greatly appreciate your support. You can show your love and support for my podcast by buying me a coffee. This will help my podcast to grow and in turn will help me to continue bringing on great guests. You can do that at buymeacoffee.com/The Wellness Project with Des. I would love to extend an invitation to you to become a part of my Facebook community where we will be discussing this episode. I would love for you to share your insights in the discussion, and it's a great place to connect with me because I'm in there every day with mental health and wellness content, discussions, reflections, journal prompts. It's a fun and supportive place to be. Shop for mental health and wellness products on my Etsy shop. The Wellness Project by Des collection of products radiate positivity and spread good vibes wherever you go. From stylish and comfy apparel to inspirational notebooks and bags, this collection of positive products is designed to uplift your spirits and brighten your day. At Wellness Project by Des, I believe that positivity is contagious and that surrounding yourself with optimistic messages can truly transform your life. This collection is a celebration of hope, joy, and encouragement, providing you with the tools you need to embrace a brighter outlook and make the world a better place each day. Embrace the power of positivity today and let my products be your constant source of inspiration. You can find them at etsy.com/shop/wellnessprojectbydes. And make sure you favorite my shop because I'm always adding new products. I also take custom orders, so feel free to message me your ideas. Thank you so much for being here. I will see you next week with another amazing guest.